Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us for the last show of the year. Congress is unable to pass a bill that would provide funding for Israel and Ukraine because the Senate would not agree to including an end to our open southern border. How does millions of people from all over the world who have no knowledge or love for our nation, who have no known skills that would be of use to us anyway, with unknown health situations and bearing who knows how much drugs or other illegal things, how does letting these people into our nation by the millions help our nation? How are they being fed, housed, educated, and clothed? Why should they receive better care than our homeless veterans or our homeless citizens? Please ask your Congress critters and U.S. senators what good comes from all this. If they defend this disaster, it's time to replace them. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, how'd you and your family spend Christmas?
Oh, we had a great time, Colonel. You know, we had turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, all the fixings. The month of December, we pretty much watch a Christmas movie every single night. And I watched two of my favorites, It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard.
Okay. Well, then you clearly had a Merry Christmas, you and all the family.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time, Colonel.
And we did, too. So we done it right. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss climate change and our military. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Retired Army Chaplain Colonel Scott McChrystal will discuss getting our nation pointed in the right direction. Then Army vet Nick Sanderson will discuss his career and present Hangar 9. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Air Force Academy football bowl game. They won. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Hey, we welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. But first, some humor. This is a true story. Anyone wanting to take pictures of our base's airfield needed a letter from the public affairs, which happened to be me. One day, while out snapping photos, I was stopped by the military police, who asked for my letter from public affairs. But I am public affairs, I said. Quote, without a letter from public affairs, we'll have to take your camera. I did the only thing I could do. I pulled out a notepad and a pen from my bag and wrote a letter giving myself permission to take the photos. The MPs read the letter, saluted, and left. That sound real to you, Skip?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's us non-coms, enlisted guys. We just know what we're ordered to do, right?
Amen, brother. Okay, now the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, earlier this month, a top Hamas leader called for attacks on America and Britain in retaliation for the war in Gaza. The FBI has issued warnings of potential terrorist attacks in the United States.
And we have a wide open southern border with lots of bad guys crossing every day. Thanks, President Biden.
And our military is launching an expanded protection force in the Red Sea, backed by an international alliance to combat growing attacks on shipping by Iran-backed Houthi rebels. The attacks from the Yemen-based rebels have forced at least five major freight firms to sail around Africa to avoid the Suez Canal, causing delays for a significant portion of world shipping. The rebels' goal is to cut off trade with Israel. The new military alliance will include the UK, Canada, France, and other European nations.
Iran is acting like it owns the Middle East. I suspect that owning that area, and maybe the rest of the world, is something it really desires. This could be crazy.
Speaking of Iran's desire for conquest, Iran recently threatened that the Mediterranean Sea could be closed if the U.S. and Israel continued crimes in Gaza. The Iran supports Hamas in its war against Israel. While we have strongly backed Israel, despite growing criticism of the Israeli military's war effort.
The Mediterranean is pretty big. It'd be interesting to see how Iran might try to close it. But if they do try, I suspect this will bring open war against them.
And Russia's 104th Air Assault Division was supposed to save the Russian campaign on the left bank of the Dnipro River in southern Ukraine. Instead, the newly formed division suffered exceptionally heavy losses and failed to achieve its objectives during its combat debut, the UK Defense Ministry reported. 2 months ago, Ukrainian Marines crossed the Dnipro and, under the cover of artillery, drones, and intensive radio jamming, secured a bridgehead in Krynki on the otherwise Russian-held left bank. It's a new front in the war, one of the Ukrainians hoped to exploit to push Russian occupiers from southern Ukraine. Russian Marines, reinforced by an army motorized regiment, failed to dislodge the Ukrainians. So, after some cursory training, the Airborne Corps' 104th Divisions arrived and took the lead. 104th was supposed to make good the Corps' heavy losses in the first 22 months of Russia's war. Instead, the about 2,000-person division itself became a casualty of an escalating war of attrition. The division was reportedly poorly supported by air power and artillery, while many of the troops were highly likely inexperienced, the ministry in London explained. It's unclear how many Ukrainian Marines are in Krynki and the surrounding forest. These hundreds of Marines and the drone operators, artillery gunners, and electronic warfare troops who support them have held out against thousands of Russians.
One wonders how long the Russian people will put up with this foolish war. There is movement in the Russian government to see some changes. We'll have to see what happens.
A federal judge issued a temporary restraining order barring removal of a memorial to Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. A group called Defend Arlington, affiliated with a group called Save Southern Heritage Florida, filed a lawsuit in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, seeking the restraining order. Work to remove the memorial had begun earlier this month before the restraining order was issued, but the memorial remains in place on cemetery grounds. The cemetery said the removal was required by Congress and that it was complying with environmental and historic preservation regulations. But the lawsuit accused the Army, which runs the cemetery, of violating regulations and seeking a hasty removal of the memorial. Quote, the removal will desecrate, damage, and likely destroy the memorial, longstanding at Arlington National Cemetery, as a grave marker and impede the memorial's eligibility for listing on the National Registry of Historic Places, the lawsuit accuses. The temporary restraining order was canceled. Removal has begun.
What does taking down memorials from our nation's bloodiest war do except erase history? Most of the men who fought for the South were fighting for their states, as were many men from the North. How does dishonoring those men achieve anything positive? Oh, by the way, the Civil War was indeed an attempt to overthrow our nation, and it was a whole lot more violent than a few words spoken by President Trump.
And the Palestinian death toll in Gaza surpassed 20,000, health officials said, the latest indication of the staggering cost of the war as Israel expanded its ground offensive and ordered tens of thousands more people to leave their homes. The deaths, amounting to nearly 1% of the territory's pre-war population, are just one measure of the devastation wrought by the conflict that over 11 weeks has displaced nearly 85% of Gaza's people and leveled wide swaths of the tiny coastal enclave. Over 500,000 people in Gaza, a quarter of the population, are starving, according to a UN report describing the crisis caused by Israel's bombardment and siege on the territory in response to Hamas' October 7 attack.
This all started with Hamas's attack on innocent Israeli citizens and the taking of hostages and murder and torture. And the citizens of Gaza cheered as Hamas did this. Israel is properly and honorably fighting back. Go, Israel. Do what you have to do to beat those who live only to kill Jews. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them was one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Chaplain Scott McChrystal. At ease, troops, take a break.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better healthcare options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A couple of weeks ago, I shared my concern about how the cult or religion of climate change or global warming or whatever it's called now has attacked our nation and our military. Since then, I've done some research on this topic. It only confirmed what I've already known, but let me share some of the science. In a recent survey of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development member nations, those are the world's richest nations, about 60% of them said they believe that global warming will likely or very likely lead to the end of mankind. If the predicted end of mankind is really true, then there should be nothing in the world more important than dealing with it. You know, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claimed in 2019 that the world will end in 12 years. So we've only got 8 years left. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and many Western leaders, including our nations, tend towards the view of the end of the world. They say, for example, the world is facing a grave climate emergency. Every week brings new climate-related devastations, floods, droughts, heat waves, wildfires, superstorms. Of course, these claims are echoed endlessly by the media. Indeed, former Vice President Al Gore predicted we'd all be dead by now, didn't he? But we aren't. Okay, how about the supposed rise in superstorms, such as strong hurricanes? What are the facts? Well, the annual number of hurricanes that make landfall in the U.S. since 1900 is slightly declining, not increasing. This is also true for major hurricanes, Category 3 and above, hitting the U.S. And if we look at the world data for total hurricane energy affecting satellites, way up high, starting in 1980, well, in 2022, it was the second lowest recorded year. Why this hasn't been covered by the media, I don't know. It's because it's contrary to the doctrine of the climate change religion. How about reporting increased wildfires due to climate change? Let's look at Australia, where the media covered a number of wildfires in 2019-2020. It sure looked like all of Australia was burning. Now the facts, there were a lot of fires close to where the media folks hung out, the big cities. That was one of the lowest levels of burning due to fire on record in that nation. So how many people die as a result of climate change, like floods, droughts, storms, wildfires, and extreme temperatures? Well, in the 1920s, about 500,000 people died each year from these causes. In 2022, the number had dropped to 11,000. And there was many more people on Earth in 2020 than in 100 years before. On the other hand, a big part of the decline came because we humans learn our lessons. We now work to prevent forest fires, and we're better at rescuing people from dangerous situations. Many people say they're worried about rising sea levels. That would absolutely be an outcome of global warming, especially given that water expands as temperature rises. Hey, look at a picture of the Statue of Liberty. It's on an island. It's been there over 200 years, and the water level hasn't changed. If the circumstances change, we humans will, as we've been doing for all of history, adjust to the change. We can fix what we can. Oh, and one of the big bad things we humans provide is carbon emissions. It's supposed to be bad. Trees love it. Anyways, since the year 2000, China's emissions have gone up 208%, India's up 155%, ours has gone down 10%, Western Europe's gone down 16%, and the rest of the world is up 0.5%. So, except for China and India, the whole world's better. So is it still part of the crisis? Many people have a very unrealistic view of renewable energy. In 1800, it is estimated that renewable sources produced 94% of the world's energy. One exception was Britain, which was beginning its industrial revolution and was turning to coal for energy. And the rest of the world followed them. Why? Because most renewables, sun, wind, and fire, are hard to predict, difficult to harness, and produce relatively small amounts of power. About 1970, renewable energy production worldwide bottomed out at 14% and remained there till about 2015. Most of that energy was located in very, very poor countries that were and are still burning dung, cardboard, and wood to produce energy. Okay, so all of the rich nations, most of whom bought into the climate change, started spending trillions of dollars developing renewable energy. Net result, measured last year, that percentage of the world's energy produced by renewable resources in 1970, as I said, was about 14%. Last year, it was 16%. Doesn't that, in some way, suggest that the people doing this really don't know what they're doing? Why isn't the media and our government looking into what we're spending and what we're getting for it? If the future for us is as bad as the climate change religion says that it is, then why aren't we looking at what the results that all this huge expense is producing? Why are the basically zero results being accepted by almost everyone? I have absolutely no disagreement with seeking ways to eliminate pollution. How can that be bad? I have no problem with those who believe the pollution could seriously hurt or even end human life, and who are digging to find scientific evidence that can lead them to solutions. That's what science is about, digging and looking for evidence and trying to follow the trail to where it leads. There's no such thing as fixed science. Science is, almost by definition, constantly challenging things to see if there's new or better information out there. So let's stop abusing everyone, especially our military, with climate change worries, unless some serious scientists, scientists who look at all the facts and all the science, not just the stuff that supports the crisis, unless they find some data that tells us we have to make some major changes. And I personally don't think that day will come. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, Happy New Year's. As we end 2023 and head into 2024, the United States is set to enter the new year with its smallest military in over 80 years. Under end strength levels outlined in the 2024 Defense Authorization Bill, the total number of active duty troops in the armed forces will drop to under 1.3 million personnel. That's down 64,000 personnel in the last 3 years alone, and is the smallest total for America's military since 1940, and that was before the United States entered into World War II. Now, the reason for the lower numbers isn't because of a decrease in missions or threats in recent years, but instead, it's because of the recruiting challenges the military has seen, and this is just the expectation of how many personnel is realistic for 2024. According to the Department of Defense, the Army, Navy, and Air Force missed the recruiting goals in 2023 by a total of 41,000 personnel. Now, this is not something that just happened overnight, and it's not going to get fixed overnight either. In fact, service officials have said they expect to face difficulties meeting the even lower recruiting targets for next year. The cuts to the Army have been the most severe, cutting the overall personnel by more than 40,000 people over the past 3 years, and now we're down to 445,000 active duty soldiers. Army recruiting is going to continue with the reform plans, which includes increasing mandates on recruiting new members with a college education. They're also reassigning the recruiting command to be under a three-star general to give even more oversight. In addition, they're extending their tour lengths for recruiters from 3 years to 4 years. Now, even the Coast Guard, who in the past has not had many issues with recruiting, is facing at least a 3,000-person shortfall. In fact, the only service to hit the recruiting targets in 2023 was the Marine Corps. Maybe the other services could learn something from them and what they did this past year. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Happy New Year's. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Chaplain Scott McChrystal about the status of our nation. Then we'll learn about Hangar 9. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds. Take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
Health TechVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome back to the show my good friend, Scott McChrystal. Scott started his military career as an infantryman and retired from it as a chaplain colonel. And he's now working on another ministry reaching our military. So welcome, Scott. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Thanks, Danny. It's always a real honor to be with you on your show.
Scott, I gave a quick overview. Give us a little more complete view of your military service. How and when did you join? And
sure.
How about the transitioning to be a chaplain?
Sure. I joined the military after ROTC in 1970 as an infantry officer. I served 12 years as an infantry officer to include three tours with the 82nd and a tour in Vietnam. Around 1980, I felt a sense of a calling by the Lord to shift gears a bit. And I wasn't sure I heard correctly, but I did what I felt I heard, and that was to pursue a full-time ministry. So I got out, went to seminary, and the short of it is I actually became a chaplain in 1985 and served for 21 years to include my last assignment as the senior chaplain at West Point. From there, that was about 2005 when I retired, I went to the Assemblies of God and served as their endorsing agent, which is kind of like a bishop or overseer for well over 200 Assemblies of God chaplains, military chaplains stationed around the world. Did that for 14 years. And then in 2019, just feeling I wanted to have more time to devote to some other activities like writing and working with a couple of nonprofits, one of which I'll mention is the Warrior's Journey. We have a mission of trying to help military people of all types, to include the families, deal with invisible wounds. And as you know, Denny, there are lots of visible wounds, and they're not all from a combat area.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can suffer trauma, and that can result in, just invisible wounds that can plague people to the end of their lives.
Yes, sir.
And even cause some to end their lives.
We know that happens. Scott, one of the things I want us to do is to take a look at this year and look forward to next year from the perspective of what's going on with our nation. You know, I think America was, and perhaps still is, one of the most blessed nations on earth. We have so much strength and so much going for us, yet we're turning our back on God. And one of the things that annoys me the most, and I haven't experienced this because I've been retired for almost 40 years, but I read all the time about chaplains being chastised, disciplined for standing up for their faith, for the faith of their denomination. And you recruited chaplains. I understand that chaplains are recruited from their denominations to represent their denomination. They're supposed to bring the values with them and stand up for them when they come on active duty. And they're being disciplined and stuff like that. Am I reading that right?
I think you're reading that very correctly, Denny. Let me make just a couple of overarching comments that parallel something you've already said. First of all, I believe the United States of America is still the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. But I also believe that unless we get our stuff together, we're about to lose that inheritance that we've gotten from our forefathers going all the way back to the Revolutionary War and the Declaration of Independence and the forming of the Constitution, if some things don't change. Essentially, I think it starts with obvious attempts by many in our country to shove God out of the picture completely. And I don't say that lightly, and I could spend the next 24 hours documenting evidence that would pretty much support that very strongly. So I think taking God out of it, and then with the absence of God and people becoming their own gods or creating their own gods, almost like a G.I. Joe, only you form your own God the way you want him to be, and either you take orders from him or you shape your form of God to match what you want. And I think that's happening to a scary extreme in our country.
Yes, sir. And that is not to say that my assessment of what is correct and godly is what everybody else should accept. But on the other hand, particularly for chaplains, they were recruited because they have certain values. They were recruited from their denomination. And whether it's performing same-sex marriages or whether it's changing genders or supporting that kind of thing, for most people, that's wrong. And to punish a chaplain who was recruited because that's part of who he is or she is, there's something wrong there. And the fact that we all seem to be just letting this happen, we have some values we have to stand up for or we lose them, right?
That's certainly correct. Certainly correct. So let me make a couple comments. Number one, I think your overarching assessment is true. I will say what's interesting about this is anybody that joins a military chaplaincy or federal chaplaincy has to understand, of course, they're representing their faith group, but they also have to have an understanding that if every group doesn't have religious freedom or religious liberty, nobody does. So you can call it tolerance, or what I think is, people have a right to worship the way they choose. And as long as they're not infringing or bringing harm to the people around them, that's fine. And I think military chaplains do that as well as anybody. But the overarching challenge has been not so much within the chaplains relating to chaplains. It has been from on high with some of the dictates that I think even go as far as to threaten the freedom of speech for a lot of people, for people in general, but certainly for chaplains. There's no doubt about it.
You know, and that's outrageous. And when the chain of command or the powers above us in the military say that you can't say certain things, whether it's using the right pronouns or, I mean, freedom of speech is freedom of speech. And I agree with you. It's not that chaplain must try to push everybody into his denominational standards, but you can't ask him to violate his denominational standards.
And I think sense? Yes, and I think a good example has been a carryover from the time of COVID. And this doesn't relate to chaplains only. It relates to a lot of people in terms of the policy about COVID. The Army, as an example, but all the services, really has put a lot of people out of the service because they did refuse on, I think, moral grounds not to take the COVID vaccine. After more research and more results, I think the services all recognize that the idea of booting people out for that reason was a very bad move on the part of the services, of course, directed by the Secretary of Defense. What's happened since is I wouldn't even say the government, the military has made any apologies. They're simply saying there is now room for people who would like to reapply and come back in if they want. But I personally think a lot of people won't do that because I personally have not sensed any real sense of taking responsibility that we goofed.
Yes, sir.
There's been very little, almost no public accountability in that. And people see right through that. And I don't think they're going to successfully be able to recall thousands of men and women who left, had so much to offer, and were pretty much put out in the cold, and because they had a moral stance, and I think they've proven even scientifically to have been correct due to some of the harmful effects of COVID vaccine.
Good point, Scott, because what you're talking about is the lack of integrity on the part of everybody makes mistakes. And a good leader, when he makes mistakes, will say, oops, boy, I messed that one up. And here's the right thing. And here we go on. But we're not hearing that at all in any way. Well, there's more to discuss about these challenges, and Scott is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. They want to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, lots of days. Then take a break to stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation with this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with retired Chaplain Scott McChrystal. Scott, I really appreciated your final point about the fact that our leadership seems to have lost their integrity. They don't admit it when they're wrong. I just don't trust most of the people that I see in leadership, and I'm plugged into several retired groups of senior officers, and they're embarrassed at what our senior officers are doing now. So the culture in our military is tough right now. What are your thoughts?
I would say, well, for instance, I worked as a senior chaplain at West Point for 7 years and left in 2005. I would say quite a number of the graduates who are still in feel that the Army they joined back in 2005 or, you know, anywhere from 2000 on, the Army they supported going to war and fighting the war on terrorism, now has morphed because of some of the policy decisions into an army that they don't recognize. And like you said, the trust factor both within and certainly without, I think, has caused a major recruiting issue. And in almost all services, the recruits they're getting are not up to the level that we would normally like to have. And that even includes in the area of special operations. To the credit of all of the services, I think they're doing the best with what they have. But to say our military has slipped a bit, I don't think is an unfair assessment. Now, I'd like to broaden this a little bit more, Denny, if you don't mind.
Please do, yes.
I think we have to ask why, and I don't think there's a simple answer. I don't think there's an answer that, you know, can go back 3 or 4 years. I think we have to go back decades to a sort of a sliding scale, if you will, of losing not only our faith, but the values that come from faith. Because when you look at the Christian faith worldwide, most of the really good advancements happened because of Christianity. Most of the scientific discoveries and just in all areas have been in large part due to Christianity, certainly, especially in Europe. Because that's now being so downplayed and even mocked, we're seeing that spill over into what is not being taught in schools. And personally, for me, I think the long-term solution, the most important solution besides getting back to God, is to tackle the education starting from a very young age. Because you and I know, you know, a five-year-old doesn't need to be talked to about sex, doesn't need to be given a choice about what sex or gender they prefer. They're five-year-olds, for crying out loud. But that kind of thinking that's allowed to go on, shockingly, in so many of our school systems, I'm talking about public schools, what do you get? You get what you pay for, so to speak, in terms of the actual information that's passed along. And by the time a kid reaches 13 or 14, it's pretty well agreed by people who study in psychology and counseling that a person's worldviews are largely shaped by the time they're about 14. So if you think America is a bad country, if you think that America was founded by a bunch of white supremacists, and that's all you've heard, and you've heard a form of history, but it's been so redacted, how would our young people know? They only learn what they hear. And our culture, as you know it, seems to have a very loud voice. I don't think it's a majority by any stretch, but the loud people that don't like America speak up, and the people who love America, I think it's time for our silence to break. We need to step forth and take action and let our voices be heard, first at the voting box, but then I think in a lot of other areas that would include what civic responsibility really entails. You know, we're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Therefore, if we don't like our government, it's actually on us, Denny.
Very well said.
We are the government.
It's a representative government. If we aren't active, then we get whatever we get. We're talking about the values our kids get. Families must play a bigger role in building values and checking with their kids are learning in school. Parents not only can, but should be involved in their school boards, knowing what's going on, even though they might get investigated by the FBI. This is a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. But if we, the people, don't get active with our local, I mean, you can't cover everything, but you can sure cover some things. We're not doing what God wants us to do to be responsible for this nation that he gave us.
And I couldn't agree more, Denny. One of the things that I think is really hurting us is a misunderstanding about what some believe, and that is that church and state shouldn't cross over. There should be a separation. That was never the intent of our forefathers. And that's so misunderstood by so many of our pastors and churches. And they think if you mix politics with religion or you pay attention to what's going on outside the church in your community, that somehow that's not right. That's not really the church's business, when actually it is our business. The Bible clearly talks about how all powers that have been placed, governments that have been placed, are there ordained by God, and we need to obey the government. But at the time when, with our Revolutionary War, when the government turns into, you know, taxation without representation, turns into tyranny, then there is a time for the people to stand up and try to right the wrongs and get the best leaders they can to fill those positions. And so we need great leaders. And you probably noticed that a number of younger people, a number of people who have gotten out of the military are now running for office. And many of them, I think, have good ideas and they have leadership talent. And I'm certainly hoping that in their various campaigns coming up for the 2024 election, that they'll get the support and the visibility, and then let the people make their decisions.
Yes, sir. At one point, you were talking about the role of the church. At the time of our revolution, pastors were so active in encouraging people to stand up. They were known as the Black Robe Regiment by the British. And there's even such a movement going on today, which I think is fantastic. The pastors need to stand up. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Chaplain Scott McChrystal. Scott, we've got a couple of minutes left. Give us a call to action.
Sure. Okay. As a Christian chaplain, as a Christian man in this country, I believe that there is a moral majority, maybe the flyover people that haven't said much, but they certainly hold on to the values that have made this country great. And many of them happen to be Christians. So what I think would be great if pastors would put more emphasis on the need for us to participate as a part of our government, it is a democratic republic, and vote. Statistically, it's been shown that even most churches, probably not more than 17, 18, maybe 20% at the highest of congregations in Christian churches vote. And so if you don't vote, you really don't deserve to have a voice. I think the next elections, whether they're congressional or, presidential, et cetera, I think they could be turned around upside down if Christian men and women would vote. Silence is not the right answer.
It is. God gave us this country. We're supposed to be good stewards of what he's given us. And that involves getting involved. I agree totally. We've got less than a minute. Take a quick minute and summarize Warrior's Journey for us, how people can plug in.
Certainly. The Warrior's Journey, our mission is to help people with invisible wounds. We have been scaling up. And honestly, I'll just say the one aspect about what we do. We deal with a lot of people who are somewhere along the continuum as far as suicide. To this point in our 7-year history, we've dealt with over 1,900 people who went anywhere from suicidal ideations to calling us with literally a loaded pistol at their head. To our knowledge, all of these people are still alive because we have connectors that deal with these people, and we try to line up connectors that have some of the similar backgrounds of the people who call us. And it's working. And it's not that we're genius. It's not that we're so highly medically trained. It's that we have people who care, people who listen, people who understand. So I would say if any of the listeners would go to our website, thewarriorsjourney.org, you would see a massive website, a lot of videos that would go a long way toward helping people to understand what we do. And naturally, I'm not too proud to say all of this takes funding. It's not cheap, but I think for what we're doing, we are getting tremendous results.
Thank you, brother. And yeah, let's support Warrior's Journey in prayer and with finances. Scott, thank you for your excellent comments and your service to our nation. God bless you. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year, and God bless you, Danny. It is always a pleasure to be with you, brother.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about Hangar 9. Then we'll review last weekend's Air Force Academy bowl game, and we'll discuss the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.